Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
On. Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
These are players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne. We are broadcasting from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios. If you're listening to us on Talk 107.3 and wondering where the Kim Mulkey Show is, well, she's taking Mardi Gras night off. But we are going to talk some women's basketball in this segment, so you're in luck. Corey Diaz, who does a great job covering the Lady Tigers for the USA Today Network, now able to join us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Corey, how you doing on this Fat Tuesday? I hope everything is well in your world.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Sorry about that. I was trying to do my best Kim Mulkey impression and then take tonight off for Fat Tuesday. So.
Are you at a parade now?
No, I wish I was.
It's when you're a Hall of Fame coach, you can just decide when to have your radio show and when not to, I guess. You know, you're allowed to take the holidays off. But
I don't think she's taking a night off. I think she's out shooting free throws with her team right now.
She might be. Corey, that seemed like you've been covering this program and you know Kim well. And we were talking about it, you know, leading into the game. Because we've heard her comments following the losses of previous South Carolina games where maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but it was always this, hey, that was one game. It's all about winning the national championship, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't want to say she brushed it aside, but because she's a competitor and she wants to win every game. I'm not saying that, but this one did seem like this was more of a gut punch because they were at home. It's Flauge Johnson's senior season. It's on ABC. It's Saturday night. It's Valentine's Day. They wore black uniforms for some reason. So there was all these things that they built into this game, and yet when they had a chance to win it, they didn't get it done. It just seemed like that really bothered her. And I don't think she slept very well after that, after Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, I won't sit here, Jeff, and claim to know Kim Mulkey's sleep patterns. But
right.
Look, I will agree with you. I think going into last Saturday's game, you know, I wrote it up last week. I'm sure I'm not the only one around the beat that had these same thoughts and opinions about the game going into it, but this was Kim's best chance to beat South Carolina since she's been at LSU. And I guess when I say that, I mean, like, you know, the talent on the roster top to bottom versus what South Carolina has top to bottom, you know, individual particular matchups. I felt LSU had a little bit of an edge in terms of, you know, like, I thought Michaela was going to be a mismatch. You know, I thought that, you know, the point guard position, you know, South Carolina was going to have, you know, that edge there with Raven Johnson, you know, basically in her sixth year of college basketball. You know, I thought LSU was going to have the edge there. And this is really the first time, you know, just looking at that position, the first time since Kim's been at LSU that probably had the edge on the interior. And you felt like, you know, if they rebound the ball well, which they did, they out-rebounded South Carolina. You feel like if they took care of the basketball, which they did, they were less than their average in turnovers per game. You do those things, you know, you felt really good about your chances of winning this basketball game. And look, I, should Flauge, Chislage have made those two free throws? Of course. But if you think about what she did just to get her team back into the game in that quarter, she scored 12 of her 21 in the fourth quarter just to get them in position. I mean, you know, I asked Dawn after the game, too. I was like, you know, what did it take for your team to win? It seemed like both teams emptied the tank tonight. I mean, Flage was gassed. Everybody on that floor was gassed with 45 seconds to go. You know, and it's a tough pill to swallow. And I think you're right, Jeff. I think in post game, you know, in years past, you know, Kim would say, you know, we're not gonna overvalue one game over our ultimate goal, which is to win a national championship. And I'm not saying that's not what they're trying to achieve this year. It certainly is. But I do think, you know, with Kim saying, you know, we had a chance to win. You know, we had a chance to win this one, and we couldn't get it done. But that sort of signaled to me that, you know, Kim thought going into Saturday night that if there was going to be a time for her to get, you know, South Carolina and what Dawn has built, it was going to be this year, and they just ultimately came up a little short.
And they may have another shot this year at the SEC tournament, and or maybe two more shots if they could meet again in the NCAA tournament. And I like their chances in a rematch that's not in the Assembly Center, because I think the players were overly excited for this game. And that showed, and South Carolina was just, you know, calm and used to it. But I think LSU could beat them in another game. I really do.
Also, Corey, to add off that, Corey, I was going to ask you about that, is what would you think as far as another rematch would go as far as in the NCAA tournament, as opposed to, you know, having to face a UCLA team for like the third team, I mean, for the third season in a row?
Yeah, I'll say this, you know, it's funny, earlier today I you know, took care of all my travel plans for Greenville, South Carolina for the women's SEC basketball tournament. So I'll be in the building for that here in a couple of weeks. And look, this will be my sixth SEC women's basketball tournament that I've covered. The fifth one that I've covered in Greenville. The first one that I covered was in Nashville. It was the last year that they had it there before they moved it over. Look, man, that the South Carolina whistle inside the Bonsa Coors Wellness Arena in Greenville is unlike any whistle that I've ever seen. So it's going to be tough for LSU. Say they match up with South Carolina in the semifinals of the conference tournament in a couple weeks. It's going to be tough for LSU or really any other team to beat them in that building. But if they were to match up in an Elite Eight, or if LSU gets a break with the selection committee and they get put into a good region and with a good matchup with a one seed, like say Texas, get to the Final Four. And if you're on the same side as South Carolina, play them in the Final Four. I would like their chances better of beating South Carolina in an Elite Eight or a Final Four matchup than I do at the SEC tournament.
That's a great point.
Yeah. But what do you make, Corey, of these late game, they're not meltdowns, but just not coming through in the end. Could I give the meathead maybe take on this is, hey, maybe if you played a little bit better competition in a non-conference, you can handle this stuff better in conference play. I know that's the meathead take on it, and I know Kim would probably, you know, rip my throat out right now for saying that, but I said it in the last hour. It just seemed like South Carolina in that game, even though they had three girls with four fouls, they were like, we've been here and we've done that. And LSU is still trying to, with this, especially with this group of players, still trying to figure out how to win these kind of games.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. The whole non-conference thing, I'm not too sure if that sort of factors into some of the shortcomings. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, 2 years ago when Haley Van Lith and Angel Reese and Anissa Morrow and you know, Flage Johnson and Michaela Williams were your starting five. I mean, you're talking about a ton of women on that team that have played in a ton of meaningful basketball games, whether it be in non-conference schedules, wherever they may have been, or conference schedules, or even in the tournament. I mean, I covered Louisville a number of years ago with Haley on the Louisville team. You know, like I don't think it's that. I think it's that killer instinct. I think it's the will to want to win the game when the game is on the line, and it's that sort of that, you know, I'm not going to be denied sort of, you know, attitude and approach to this. Look, that's how they won the national championship 3 years ago. I mean, it's who's gonna take up the ownership of how these games are gonna go in the final, you know, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes when it's a 2-point game, when it's a 3-point game. I thought Mikayla Williams the other night had arguably the best quote of any post game press conference that we've had so far this year. You know, when she said, you know, we got to start bowing our neck and stop dropping these close games. Like that, to me, it sounded like a player that's maybe sort of figuring it out that, hey, if it has to be me, I'm going to be the one that has to take ownership and responsibility of how these games go when we have an opportunity to beat a top three team in the country and we haven't been getting it done. If it has to be me, I'm going to be the one that's going to try to get it done. So, and obviously Flage echoed that, you know, sentiment as well. And if you're Kim, you love to hear that when you're sitting beside them. You know, those are two of your most experienced players. Those are two of your players that have been in the biggest games of your program since they've been in there. And you hope that's the overlying thing that comes out of this loss to South Carolina, is that, you know, there's this development of some ownership from your veteran players that they're not going to allow it happen anymore.
Yeah. And you know what? Watching the end of that game, I don't know if there was anything really significant that either coach did. You know, it was kind of left to the players over the last couple of minutes. You know, there was no mistake by either of the coaches. There was no, you know, great strategic move by either of them. They didn't do anything wrong, and sometimes that's the best coaching. But, you know, it was left to the players, and South Carolina came through.
Yeah, I would say – The only thing, Glenn, is that, you know, both teams obviously had mental lapses throughout the game. I would just say, like, in crunch time there, I think LSU had a couple of mental lapses. Obviously, you know, the two missed free throws for Ajay at the end there. But also, if you remember, you know, after the second missed free throw, you know, South Carolina gets the rebound, and they immediately go down, and they get an easy basket on the other end to go up three. And, you know, that to me, and that was something that LSU struggled with for one reason or another almost all game long, was their transition defense was putrid.
Yeah. Every time they got within 1 point, South Carolina scored within like less than a minute or sometimes less than 30 seconds a couple of times. And it was really that was so sad, because as Dawn mentioned after the game, LSU was killing them on the offensive rebounds. You know, which doesn't happen often. And they out-rebounded him by, I think it was 9, you know. So, that's why I think if they got a rematch, particularly in the NCAA tournament, it could be a win for LSU.
Corey, we'll get you out on this one. We'll get you out on this one really quick here, because we got to hit a break. But 4 more regular season games left. Do they win them all?
Yes, I think they win them all. Obviously, Ole Miss Thursday night going to be tough. You know, I was telling Andre before I came on, I think outside of Dawn Staley, I think the only other coach in the league that's really figured out how to coach against a Kim Mulkey team is Coach Yeo at Ole Miss. So that's going to be a big one. But I do think they win that game. Obviously going to be a super motivated, spirited group going into Oxford Thursday night. So, and then obviously you got Missouri, you've got Tennessee at home, you've got Mississippi State on the road. So they're going to create a little bit of momentum going into Greenville. I think if you win those 4, obviously, I think the win over Tennessee is probably going to earn the team a double bye. They'll be the 4 seed. So obviously, and that what we talked about earlier, you get that 4 seed in the semifinals, you're going to match up with South Carolina. So the two teams will play again, you know, if LSU takes care of business here.
Corey, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Y'all take care.
All right, that's Corey Diaz. When we come back, we'll hear from Woodside Energy here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk with Woodside Energy's Executive Vice President, Daniel Combs, about the new corporate logo patch that's going to be on LSU uniforms starting next fall. And here's that interview.
We're talking with Daniel Combs, who is the executive vice president and the chief operating officer international for Woodside Energy. Daniel, thanks a lot for joining me. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very good, Jeff. It's good to be talking to you. We've got something pretty exciting to talk about today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. First of all, for the people that are unaware, what is Woodside Energy? We know it's a global energy company, and from what I understand, it's been doing business in Louisiana for a couple decades now and is building a massive LNG export terminal in Calcasieu Parish.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we're a pretty significant producer in the Gulf of America. We've got a shore base that we've been running out of Port Fourchon for a couple of decades. And indeed, we're investing in an LNG plant that's called Louisiana LNG. It's a $17.5 billion investment, and we're right in the middle of construction. So we're really invested in Louisiana.
And that facility in Calcasieu Parish, that's thousands of jobs, very good paying jobs for folks here in Louisiana, right?
Exactly right. Really good jobs in construction, and then 40, 50 years of really fantastic professional and technical roles as we operate the plant.
So Woodside Energy is a Australian-based company, but yet obviously has been doing business in Louisiana for a long time and has had a presence here. What is it about LSU that Woodside Energy wanted to partner with LSU, and in particular LSU Athletics?
Well, there's a couple of things. LSU is absolutely iconic. If you think Louisiana and you think about what excites the community in Louisiana, it's nothing like LSU. What attracted us to the athletics program is really we want to make a difference. When we're in a community, we want to make a positive contribution. We're prepared to invest in the community. And we saw that investing in this partnership with LSU would not only make LSU more successful, but help to make the student athletes themselves more successful, even beyond their athletic careers in the college, but beyond that. So it was that chance to make a positive contribution.
And Woodside Energy has been involved here with LSU Athletics for a while now. It's just not the uniform patch logo.
Yeah, that's right. We've announced the patch. But we've been talking to LSU and partnering with LSU for longer than that. The key thing that we were looking for was for the NCAA to give permission for the patches to go on the sportswear. And that's a really big step. But we've been working with LSU well in advance of that. We've just got an opportunity to take it to the next level, really.
Talk about the significance of being the first company to actually now be on the uniforms of, obviously the football uniforms. And from what I understand, you had the option of just saying, hey, we just want to do football, or heck, maybe you just want to do LSU baseball, but you wanted to do all the sports. You wanted the Woodside Energy logo to be on all of the athletic uniforms for LSU. Why was that so significant to Woodside Energy?
Yeah, look, the football is super high profile. There's a lot of recognition of it, but if you go back to what I said before, we want to make a difference for all the student athletes, whether it's the male athletes, the female athletes. There's 21 sports that we're supporting, and they're all worthy of support. The fact is the football is very high profile, so we're glad that that's included. But for us, it was about doing something holistic in support of LSU. And we're prepared to make sure that we fit in. So for us, purple and gold is not normally how our logo is, but it really looks very good on the uniform. So we're fitting in with the LSU brand.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Your color logos are red and black, correct? For Woodside Energy?
Yeah, it's red, but I must say it looks pretty good in purple and yellow.
Was that, how much of a discussion was that? And because I there are people that are going to be resistant to change, especially a lot of people don't want to mess with the LSU football uniform because it is iconic and it's so recognizable. So how important was it to say, hey, okay, let's take Woodside Energy, let's take that logo and go from red to purple and gold?
Yeah, look, for us, that was not a difficult compromise or accommodation to make. I think that the LSU colors are iconic, and we benefit from being associated with that, so it wasn't a difficult decision for us. We understand the traditional values, and we're just happy to be part of that tradition.
So this is, we were talking a little bit before this interview started, this is a multi-year, multi-million dollar deal, but I would imagine Woodside Energy is just really thrilled to not only be building this massive LNG plant over in Calcasieu Parish, but now be hooked up with a brand like LSU.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for us, we want people to think positively about Woodside and what we do in the community, and being associated with something like LSU and knowing how our contribution will make it better for student athletes, I think just adds to the recognition of what Woodside brings to the community. We want to be able to say clearly and be able to point to examples of how we do make a positive contribution in the community. So, yeah, I mean, we're thrilled to be part of it.
Daniel, anything else you would like to add?
Go Tigers.
That's a good way to finish it up. All right, Daniel, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. I know a lot of LSU fans in this day and age where revenue is so difficult for these athletic departments to raise, or it's not necessarily difficult, but it's critical, right, with everything that's changed. And I know LSU fans are excited that there's a company like Woodside Energy willing to invest in it.
Yeah, and we are too. Thanks very much, Jeff.
Daniel Combs, Woodside's Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer International.
Good stuff there from Daniel Combs, and hopefully that gives LSU fans a little bit more of a perspective and maybe calms them down a little bit as far as the concerns of the patch being too much for the LSU football uniform. Let's go to break. Garland Gillen will join us when we come back on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
From the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, it's Jeff Palermo along with the editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Glenn Gilbo, and Andre Champagne, our producer tonight. And we go back out to the phone lines, and joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio, it's Garland Gillen from Fox 8 TV. On Mardi Gras night, he joins us. That is pretty cool that after a couple of weeks of Mardi Gras celebrations and partying, and it's all about ready to come to an end at midnight tonight, that Garland, you spent a few minutes with us tonight. How you doing?
Jeff, Glenn, I'm running on empty. It's been a long few weeks. I mean, we went, you know, most people in America, you know, New Year's hits and they're like, there's a lull, and then they have the Super Bowl, yeah, and then, like, you know, they don't know what the next big thing is. It's like we just rolled. Like, we went right into carnival season after New Year's. And then, as Glenn knows, he's a native New Orleanian. I mean, festival season's like right behind it. Like, we start all the festivals in March, April, May, Jazz Fest. The Eagles are coming. I can't wait for that. So it's just like nonstop. And then spring football starts next month for Tulane, LSU. So we're never a dead period ever.
Yeah. So, and
did you go out and go and cover the Super Bowl too?
No, so Sean Fazan,
okay,
who was mainly our Saints beat reporter, he went out for the NFL honors because we knew that Drew Brees was going to get into the Hall of Fame. So he went out that Thursday, got the interviews after. They're going to be in Canton. The Saints might play a preseason game in Canton during the Hall of Fame festivities. And then they're in Paris also in October. So between Lane Kiffin being an LSU Tiger head coach and the Saints having Drew Brees in the Hall of Fame and them going to Paris, like my fall is like definitely stacking up there with, you know, obviously Ole Miss madness and going on the road. I'll probably be there for like 3 days for that game.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, you got a chance. You got a rare interview with Lane Kiffin. I think you might be the first person to have a one-on-one interview with Lane since he's gotten down here. So I congratulate you on that. And cool. As Glenn Gilbo wrote in TigerRag.com, it took Les Miles to win a national championship before he got to be on a parade or to ride in a parade for New Orleans. Lane, he hasn't even won a game yet, and he gets to be a grand co-grand marshal for Endymion. But how do you think he soaked up the experience of being on a float on one of the biggest parades during the New Orleans Mardi Gras season?
I think he really enjoyed it. I mean, he was out there on the route like at 2:30. He did a pre-game like interview with Bruce Katz, like, and you know, kind of hyped the crowd up before the parade started. And that parade starts at 4:15. By the time I got an interview with him, we were pushing 10 o'clock at night. So he'd been in a float for almost 6 hours. So yeah. I give him props. He was. I don't think he realized what was going on. So Helena Moreno gave him a document, you know, for the city of New Orleans there. He got honored. And then I'm standing right next to Helena, and then I interview him. I'm sure he has no idea. There's no mic flag. It's a live television show on Fox State, but there's no mic flag. So then I started interviewing him about the ride and everything, and he was very cool about it. You know, I think he had a great time. And as Glenn pointed out, yeah, Les Miles won a natty. And Lane Kiffin has been coached one game, and he was program marshal. Because there's some Tulane fans, trust me, that are quite bitter in New Orleans that John Summerall got them to the playoff this year. He was not in any parade. He was at Muses as just a parade goer, Muses Thursday last week. But John Summerall wasn't invited to be in a parade. Lane Kiffin was invited by Endymion to be a co-grand marshal.
That's awesome.
See how that can ruffle some feathers. I certainly can.
Well, Lane is already becoming like a local. He's only been here a few months. He hit Phil's Oyster Bar here in Baton Rouge early on. And now, right after the parade, he spends the next couple of days, the Monday and Tuesday, he's on a beach somewhere. That's what New Orleans natives do when they get into their 40s and 50s. They cut town when that parade comes.
I can confirm that. My aunt and uncle are Metairie natives, and they are not in New Orleans right now.
well, Garland, Garland, you're an AP football poll voter. You've followed LSU football and covered LSU football for a long time. What do you think of the impact Lane will have in season one? How far do you think he'll go?
Well, Glenn, first off, it's going to be just a circus every week. Every time, I'm sure you know this, Glenn, I'm sure all your workers at Tiger Rag know this, anytime you post anything about Lane Kiffin on social media, the comment section is just an absolute just dumpster fire of just hate and bitterness. Either love him or hate him. And I think the only people that love Lane Kiffin right now are LSU Tiger fans. I think it's going to be really exciting. I mean, what, you spent $35, $40 million. We don't know the exact number in the transfer portal and NIL and rev share. This roster is absolutely stacked. They will be a top 10, top 15 AP preseason program. They got Clemson coming in here. The spread is 12.5 right now at FanDuel Sportsbook. It started 11.5. It's actually moved a point, which is pretty wild in week one that LSU's favored by 12.5 at home, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, we know Sam Levitt's going to do 7-on-7, and we don't know when he's going to be fully healthy. So there's a lot of unknowns. Now, we'll say this, Clemson's quarterback hasn't been a starter either. But there's just so much riding on this season. And I was honest. I did a video a month ago. Glenn, the floor is the playoff, okay? That's the floor. Like anything, the playoff is expected. How far they go, we'll see. But anything less than a playoff is a failure for year one with Lane Kiffin. And that is so high of expectations. But that's where we are.
Go ahead, Jeff.
It really is. It really is, Garland. I mean, we had, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had Matt Moscona on, and you talk about the craziness, just the news cycle that he has been able to build. And for someone that really doesn't do a lot of public speaking, does probably, you know, more through social media interactions, but this upcoming football season, I think, is about as hyped as it is has been for a team not coming off a national championship, right? I mean, everybody's excited, and well, 2020 was obviously a little bit different of a season, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, people are anticipating a winner here, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be very interested to see what the reaction's like. Because fans turn on Brian Kelly pretty quick. It went negative 60 in a hurry with him.
Yeah, no. I mean, these boosters stepped up to the plate, okay? Last year they stepped up. They had one of the richest rosters last year, NIL, and it was a failure. And then they got them to step up again and spend that kind of money again. It is really impressive that these LSU donors are stepping up 2 years in a row. But I think just Lane has this kind of aura around him. He even headed Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is in a tiny town. I know y'all have been to Oxford before. There's not a lot of energy around that place, and he brought it to that place. And now you're magnifying at Baton Rouge, which most people think Tiger Stadium is the scariest place to play if you're a visiting team. Obviously, Lane had problems coaching against the LSU Tigers. And now he can recruit Louisiana. He can get anybody he wants, as is obvious, between getting Jordan Seaton, Sam Levitt, Prince Will Umamielen. I mean, he got three of the top 10 in the country to come to LSU. The excitement level is through the roof. I was on the parade route. People that don't live in Louisiana are flying in for the Texas game, flying in for the Bama game. That's all they would ask about. I mean, I'm in the city where Tyler Shough is starting to get a lot of juice. But everybody on the route was asking about Lane Kiffin and LSU. He just brings a different kind of energy, and everybody wants to see what he's going to do. I mean, it's going to be exciting. The Clemson game is September, and we're talking about it like, you know, I've already booked my hotel rooms for Thursday, Friday before the Ole Miss game already. I'm like, I'm getting ready for that already. I don't usually do that often, but we just got to prepare for that one. It's going to be a big road trip for LSU.
And Arch Manning – in Tiger Stadium, Saturday, November 14th, baby. That's going to be it, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we're actually 200 days away from this.
The hype around Arch has been pretty significant. He's already the betting favorite for the second year in a row to win the Heisman Trophy. I believe the hype is worth it this year. I think he finally figured out, obviously, if you watch a lot of those Texas games, guys, the offensive line didn't help Arch at all. I mean, he was running for his life in a lot of his games, took a lot of hits. Talking to people surrounding that program, he was dealing with some injuries this year because he took so many hits. But, man, that November, the first 2 weeks after the bye are Alabama at home and Texas at home. If you're a season ticket holder, you feel like you have a lottery ticket in your hand.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Garland, we'll let you get some rest, enjoy the last few hours of the carnival season, and we'll have to get you back on again, maybe even especially during Ole Miss week, since you're going to be planted up there a few days in advance of the game.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great night.
All right, that's Garland Gillen. Does a great job covering Louisiana sports for Fox 8. We'll take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio when we come back.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
LSU baseball team off to a 4-0 start. They got Nichols on Wednesday, and then they'll be tested a little bit this weekend. They'll head over to Jacksonville and play in another one of those round-robin tournaments, and they'll be facing Indiana, Notre Dame, and then they'll wrap it all up with Central Florida on Sunday. So should be a lot of fun to see how they compete against the Hoosiers, Fighting Irish, and the Knights. Gavin Guidry is one of the really good stories here early on in the season. And I tell you, on Friday, maybe back it up a little bit. obviously LSU won the national championship, so everything worked out well. But there were times during the course of the 2025 season that I thought, you know, they could really use a guy like Gavin Guidry, because that 2025 team, you know, the 2023 team had a lot of characters. You know, Cade Beloso, you know, Paul, you know, they had a little more personality, right? You know, Paul Skeens, you know, Dylan Cruz is kind of a playing guy, but, you know, Trey Morgan, Gavin Dugas, you know, a little bit more of a personality. Last year's team was very robotic in my mind, very, very robotic. They're all baseball junkies. They just want to get in the batting cage, or they just want to get in the pitch lab, and they're just baseball. You know, they're like Jay Johnson. I mean, they're all just, you know, baseball kind of guys. But Gavin Guidry's a little bit different. He's got this attitude about him. He's fearless out there. And for those that watch a lot of baseball, and if you're going to pitch in high leverage situations, you want a guy on the mound that is going to feel like, I can throw whatever I want here and the hitter is not going to hit it. Now, it's baseball. Sometimes the hitter does hit it and he hits it a very far away and it goes out of the park. But so it's not perfect. But there's this little bit of attitude that Gavin Guidry has. And I thought at times during the 2025 season, when that team was kind of going through a little bit of a malaise, or it was just kind of, I don't want to say going through the emotions, but it was, they needed a spark of some sort, like when they went to Auburn and they lost. Well, Guidry brings you that spark, and we saw that on Friday. Now, Seth Dardar hits the home run to get him within one run, but when Guidry comes in there and he strikes out the side, and, you know, guys are striking out, and he's waving them back to the dugout, and he's, you know, he's puffing his chest, he's screaming, he's shouting out some expletives. I'm like, there we go. That's what I want to see. You know, I want to see that kind of emotion. And that was what they were missing. And again, they won it in 2025. So no big deal, I guess, in the end. But that's what they were missing at times last year. And I love seeing it in the season opener.
Yeah. And I mean, 10 strikeouts. And he only pitched
four and a third innings so far.
Four and a third innings. No, one walk. No hits, you know, and there was a lot of, he was very demonstrative out there, and you know, one of the announcers, it wasn't Blair, it was the other guy, the backup,
Patrick Wright
was talking about how he looked like he was a starting pitcher, which they're working him to be. You know, they brought up his pitch limit so he can possibly start, but I don't think that's going to happen, man. I mean, he could be key starter, you know, like an extra starter in a post game or anything. But Jay's already talking about him like he's a closer. In fact, he said after the game, his second game of the weekend, he said, you know, I still can't believe he won the national championship last year without the best closer in America.
Yeah,
that's how he feels about Gavin.
And then yesterday, I mean, Kent State is making a run at him, and you put him out there, and he shuts him down. I mean, his breaking stuff is absolutely filthy at the moment. I wanted to get to some Gavin Guidry sound bites. Let's do that in our final segment, because he had some really interesting things to say after Monday night's game. So let's take our final break of Tiger Rag Radio, and then we'll wrap things up here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing, while Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was the life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, I want to get to these, before we get out of here tonight, I want to get to these Gavin Guidry sound bites. He spoke after earning the save in the 10-7 win over Kent State on Monday night. He's so far through two appearances, just one hit allowed in 4 1/3 innings. He struck out 10. Now, he missed the 2025 season, had surgery in April, and actually said he didn't know if he would be able to return to the mound because the recovery was not seamless. There were still some more bumps in the road after he had the surgery last April.
After surgery, I felt better, and then I started hurting again. And, I mean, I had conversations with my parents about just not really knowing where it was going to go and how everything was going to look after, and I just kind of had to just put my head down and work and see where it got me. If it didn't work out, just be content with the work that I put in.
You know, and as Glenn was saying in the last segment, he talked about how maybe there were some thoughts, and even last year there was talk about making him a starting pitcher, but I think it's pretty obvious after watching what he's done these first two games is his role is in the bullpen late in the game, shut it down. But here's him talking about his role and just really in the end, just happy to be back out there.
I'm just excited to be back, to be completely honest with you. I'll do whatever they ask me to do pitching wise. Yeah. Three out saves. If I need to start games, get extended and throw multiple innings out of the bullpen. Like I was saying earlier, I feel like I'm more prepared to do that with my body than I've ever felt. So whatever I need to do, if it's throwing multiple times a week and bouncing back quicker or getting more extended, I feel like I'm ready to do whatever I need to do.
And here's one more from Gavin Guidry talking about where he's at in his mind frame early on in the season.
Like I was saying, I'm just super content with everything I've done for the last 12 months, just happy with the work that I put in, and I just get to go out there and play a game that got taken away from me for the last year, you know what I mean? So just being able to go back there and compete again is amazing.
So far, it's been fun to watch. It's not going to always be perfect, but he's a guy that you feel pretty good with when he's got the ball in his hands late in the game because, again, he's going to go out there and he's going to give it 110%, and he thinks he's unhittable out there, and that's what makes it kind of fun to watch. I mean, Skeens had that too, right? He had that same attitude too, but Skeens is throwing 101, right? and he's got this filthy slider to go with it, and he was certainly unhittable, but Gavin Guidry has that same mindset, but his body frame is like most like everybody's, you know? But he's out there and he's doing it.
Yeah, like Greg Maddux type body frame. But, you know, another very good pitcher coming off an injury is redshirt sophomore Devin Sheeran, who also got in twice over the first four games. He struck out 4, no hits, no walks, and 1 2/3 innings. I know Jay has been very excited about Devin as well. So that, you know, he's got so many options out of the bullpen and options for the starting rotation, depending on how that ends up.
Yeah, so if some of these guys, if it doesn't work out, I really would like to see William Schmidt put it together a little bit better. You know, the strike out a guy in 3 pitches and then walk the next guy in 4 is it's a little perplexing. We'll see if that continues to get better. Cason Evans, let's see if he has a better start. Who knows? Might actually see, you know, someone like Cooper Williams start one of these games, especially if they're facing a lot of lefties at the top of the batting order. That's going to do it for this edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Want to thank everyone for listening. We'll be back with you again. If you missed the show or want to re-listen to any of our segments earlier, you can find us anywhere where you get your podcast, or the show will be uploaded to YouTube here shortly. For Andre Champagne, Glenn Gilbo, Todd Horn, I'm Jeff Palermo. Have a great night, and for the latest in LSU sports, check out TigerRag.com.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine, or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.